This is Trusta Neal with the Call to Learn Conference, and we've got Marianne Johnson here with us. And she's going to be talking to us presently about being present, being a present parent. So first of all, we want to know a little bit more about you. So Marianne, could you tell us more about like where you're from and something about you?
Yes, so I was born in Wyoming.
Like where?
In Afton, not too far from Jackson Hole. I didn't live there very much. I went to school there in second grade, but spent a lot of time there in the summers. My grandparents lived there, and they both had businesses on Main Street. I was there often enough that when I went to church, the teacher would always say, "Oh, we have a visitor," and the kids would say, "No, she's not. That's Marianne Kazare."
Oh.
And so I spent a lot of time there. So I had a large family. Mm-hmm. There were 9 kids, and I was the oldest one.
Oh, wow.
I liked that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any different. It just seemed like that's how families were.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that my father grew up there? Did we have this conversation before?
You know, I think we have.
Yeah, I think so, too. He grew up in Bedford.
Oh, yeah. So my aunt and uncle lived in Bedford.
Okay.
And probably knew your dad.
That's pretty cool.
They were there forever. I know.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's where I come from. I went through school and high school and on to college and met my husband before he went on his mission and waited.
Okay.
Sorta.
You dated around a little bit.
I was there when he came home, but we did have plans, so that was cool. And we've been married 45 years.
Wow.
Long
beautiful.
Time.
Yeah.
I have 7 children and 13 grandchildren.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
Thank you. And all my kids are grown and on their own and doing well. And
great.
My grandkids are all great. I live with one of my daughters in a basement apartment.
Oh, yeah?
And help her with her children, one who has severe cerebral palsy. So I have kids in my life 24/7.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Sometimes at 3 in the morning, Ben, who's 4, will come down and crawl between Grandma and Grandpa and spend the night. So. It keeps, people can't say, well, you just don't know what it's like anymore.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, oh, yeah, I pretty much do know.
Yes.
Ben had a tantrum today that lasted 30 minutes, and I could hear the whole thing.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, there's no possible way to get too old.
Yep, nope.
Yet.
That's true. So, you still get to experience them.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that. And my husband really loves it.
Oh, good.
I started looking for a house, and he half-heartedly went along with me, looking for a house on the same street or within the same block. But a couple of weeks later, he said, you know, Mary, about that house thing, why don't you wait until I die and then buy a house?
Wow.
And I realized
he really does love to be with the kids every day.
Oh, that's He's neat. Retired. He does lots of babysitting. Mm-hmm. He does Benny's school.
Cool.
And, so I think we'll probably be doing that for a long time.
Yeah, that sounds like it. It sounds like it. That's great. So tell us about your homeschool experience. How did you get started? Did you even want to at the first?
No.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Okay.
In fact, I had a friend in our ward in Montana who homeschooled. She was the only homeschooler I knew, and she was like super weird.
Yeah.
And they didn't eat sugar, and they used homeopathics, and like, who does that?
Yeah.
And I just had no intentions of homeschooling, but we started having some difficulty with one of our sons, and eventually we had 4 kids using drugs in our very small town of 10,000.
Wow.
And before that happened, I could see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
They were having trouble in middle school, seemed to be not a good place for our kids.
Yeah.
And so when my second to the last child came to that place, I just said, we aren't going there.
Yeah.
A little before that, the strange lady who was homeschooling, I got to know her better, and she and I actually opened a Benjamin Franklin Academy together.
Oh, neat.
And I taught all the grades from 8 up.
Wow.
And all the subjects. We had 23 students. I did that for a number of years. And did bring some of my struggling children in. Wasn't successful for them. But then with the last two said, we're just not going to, no more are going through middle school.
Oh.
And we're just going to homeschool. So our homeschooling was very on and off. My youngest son wanted to go back to school in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, pray about it, Mom. And I did, and the answer was a definite no.
Oh.
And so then when it was coming up to 10th grade, he said, Mom, I want you to pray about it again.
Yeah.
And the response was, he'll either make it or he won't. You can let him go.
Wow.
And he did very well. And
oh, good.
Was glad. And, of course, at that point, my youngest daughter, who'd been homeschooled, there's a seven-year gap there.
Oh, okay.
Who had been homeschooled all that time said, mm-hmm. well, if he's going to school, I'm going to school.
Mm.
So we put her in a small country school.
Okay.
But we had to drive a ways
to. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Then we moved here to Utah, and she was in, now the name has slipped me, but a private academy.
Okay.
And then in 10th grade, went back to high school. And mm-hmm. I said to her, if you go back to high school, number one, it will be lame.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you will have to stay. Mm. So think carefully about your decision.
Yeah, yeah.
And after about a month of school, she said, Mom, this is so lame. I said, I know. And it was really a struggle to get her through those last 2 years, but she did it.
I bet.
She did it. And so my homeschooling journey, we had no resources really in Montana. Mm-hmm. There were very few homeschoolers. There were no academies, no Benjamin Franklin, which we ran for
right,
a few years. And so it was... I didn't have a lot of curriculum. There was no computer at that time, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go online and see what everyone was doing.
Right.
It just wasn't what it is today.
Right, yeah.
I'm
so
absolutely
different.
Astonished at the networks that people have.
Mm-hmm.
So I look back on our experience and think, well, it wasn't very stellar, but my son did learn to be a clown.
Oh, hey.
He did that in homeschooling. We got him a teacher and he'd actually went out and performed all over.
Awesome.
And we did a lot of fun things. We spent a ton of time together, myself and my last two children.
Uh-huh.
And if that's all we had gotten, it would have been okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of them went on to do some college. The other one's been very successful in business. And, you know, it all turned out all right.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's wonderful.
So I can't call myself an expert in homeschooling. I can call myself an expert in dealing with kids. During that time, I raised my seven. I worked for the school district. I did some substituting.
Okay.
And I worked for the community ed a lot. Was very, very involved in Girl Scouts and church groups and other things. Did daycare or day camps.
Oh, yeah.
And just worked with thousands of kids.
Wow.
Well, from grade school to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you have all of your grandchildren too. Do you work with them at all with their homeschooling?
I have. So my oldest daughter has homeschooled a long time.
Okay.
And I would go once a week, and we would have grandma school.
Awesome.
When I'm with my other grandchildren, we do a lot of fun things. I've sent out a lot of grandma letters,
are
learning letters and fun letters. And so it's just pretty much like every grandparent. I just, want to have fun with them and teach them stuff and do what I can with the distance ones and a lot with the ones that I live with. Yeah. However, I have noticed a difference.
Okay.
When you move in with your grandchildren, it's a little different than when you live two or three blocks away and you have to go there.
Uh-huh.
You do a lot less planned things with them because they're just there all the time.
Right.
And you're doing
things all
the time.
That makes sense.
So it's more like a non-glorified mom, where they come down and they need orange juice or yogurt or a cuddle or whatever.
Yeah.
I have to stop in the middle of my very important things and be present.
Yeah.
You know?
You're practicing what you're preaching.
Practicing all the time. So it's pretty loose. I don't, my husband does more homeschooling now than I actually do because he does Benny school with 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
So
has he always been supportive?
He always has been.
Wow, that's great.
My husband was on-road salesman, so he was gone during the week while my son and daughter and I were homeschooling. But on the weekends, he was really the kid person.
Mm.
He spent a lot of time with them hunting and fishing and hiking and laying around and basketball. He started the first soccer league in our town.
Wow.
And so he just spent a lot of time with the kids whenever he could.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But he had no problem with me bringing him home out of school.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty supportive, especially then. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was new and nobody was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, well, then let's go into your presentation, too, then learning how to be a present parent. You've been doing a lot of presentations about that over the last couple of years. What does it really mean to be present?
Well, I like to say that it's to be engaged heart, mind, and soul for 30 seconds.
Well, you've thought about this, haven't you?
You know, when a child comes to you, uh-huh, and they need you or want you, it's mm-hmm the putting down of the cell phone, mm-hmm, the turning away from the computer, uh-huh, the looking them in the eye. And the hardest part is clearing the mind of the agenda that's floating there all the time.
Yes, yes.
So you can really hear and see
mm-hmm
what someone is saying.
Yeah.
Even if no words are being spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really vital in families to be present. Being present says to a child, you matter to me.
Yeah.
And children determine how much they matter by the attentiveness we give them.
Mm.
And there's tons of research on that.
Yeah.
So we may say, oh, you know, my kids know I love them.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to take a hard look at that, because that may not be true. They may not really know that.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good thing. Now you said for 30 seconds.
That's
right. Is that really for 30 seconds?
So when I was doing some research for the book that I wrote that's coming out in the spring,
uh-huh,
what I noticed is that in order to make connections with your kids, the counsel out there is to do a one-on-one date mm-hmm once a week, to give them a half an hour. And I'm thinking, I had 7 kids. That would have never happened.
Yeah, how do you find
and
the time?
And I've asked a lot of parents. Mm-hmm. And those who have said, well, it sounded so good and I thought I would do it, it doesn't last a month, maybe two. It's not sustainable. And so a lot of people get a little discouraged and they shy away from it. And what I want to teach people is, listen, being present has to happen in the everyday walk you do with your child.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be scripted or something special or time taken out of what you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be present in 30 seconds or less.
Mm.
And let me give you an example.
Okay.
So when, long before I started even thinking about this, this uh-huh maybe was the gateway to me learning about this.
Okay.
I was sewing. Uh-huh. I was busy. And my 3-year-old kept coming in and bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
She needed this and she needed that and a drink and so-and-so's hurting me and can you do this? And I finally just was so annoyed
mm-hmm
that I thought, if she comes in here again, I'm going to swat her
mm-hmm
because she's being naughty.
Yeah.
I've told her. There's a lot of people out in that living room who can help her. She has lots of siblings. But when she came back in again, because of course she did.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the distinct thought, why don't you hug her instead? It was so shocking to me. Because what was my intention?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to swat her.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew the thought did not come from me. And I was so startled, I just came to a stop. And I literally turned mm-hmm away from the sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her for the first time that day, really looked at her. Not just glanced over and said, stop bothering me. And I said to her, Marie, I love you. And I picked her up and held her. And it didn't take 30 seconds, maybe 10, maybe 15 at the max. And then I put her down and she went off and she did not come back.
Interesting.
Because what she needed was to know that she mattered.
Yeah.
That she was on the list.
Yeah.
And it only took those few seconds. I could have saved us both a lot of grief
mm-hmm
had I, the first couple of times she came in, noticed there's a need here that I can fill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it could have not happened that way. I could have swatted her,
mm-hmm,
and she would have been crying.
And then you would have had it taken away from your stuff anyway.
Yes, and I would have felt like a terrible mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want people to understand that being present doesn't have to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to take 30 minutes a week of alone time with one mm-hmm child.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. But how many times a day? Some children only need it once.
That's right.
But some children need it maybe 3 times a day. But that's, you know, that's 30 seconds, a minute and a half a day.
I always tell really people, start with 3 minutes a day. Uh-huh. Pick one child and say, today I'm going to give this child 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And you practice that.
That's
and
great.
As you practice that, pretty soon you'll notice that you will automatically be giving 30 seconds here and 10 seconds there and a minute and a half here. Mm-hmm. And it will become how you are.
Yeah.
With your kids.
Yeah.
It's a skill that anyone can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Through practice.
Right. Yeah. That practice comes up a lot, doesn't it?
Yes.
Gotta keep practicing.
That's right. In a busy family, people ask me all this time, mm-hmm. all the time. I'm so busy, and I have 5 kids, 4 kids, 6 kids, whatever you have.
Mm-hmm.
How can I do that? And I say, well, you have to use the events that already occur. Bedtime, dinner time, family reading, chores,
mm-hmm.
even any of these times. And you can learn how to do that. So bedtime, for example, if you were able to give every child 3 minutes at bedtime, and you don't have to even do them all every day. Say mm-hmm. on Monday, it's these 2 children, and on Tuesday, it's this child, and on Wednesday, it's these 2. And your husband takes 1 and you take 1, you divide and conquer, and you give them 3 minutes.
Okay.
And you do that as consistently as you can. And what happens in those 3 minutes? You sit on the edge of the bed, or you lay by your child,
mm-hmm.
you stroke their arm,
uh-huh.
you say, how was your day? And then you listen.
Yeah.
And sometimes if it's a teenager,
mm-hmm.
you put your hand on their shoulder or their knee and you sit there in silence.
So you touch them, like literally.
Touching is important.
Yeah,
that's one of the skills that you can learn is mm-hmm. the random touch. And sometimes it's an issue of silence. It's your presence that you're there.
Yeah.
That if they wanted to connect with you verbally, they could.
Mm-hmm.
But you've connected with them in other ways. And
okay, so you just be quiet.
And you
right?
just be quiet.
You're
if
just
your teenager
quiet
doesn't want to talk,
then
you sit,
just
there
sit there
for 2.5-3 minutes, stroking an arm or just touching a shoulder, and then say, good night, I love you. Mm-hmm. Give them a peck on the cheek, and you go.
Yeah.
But it does, like I say, you divide and conquer. It's not like you have 7 kids and every night you have to give each one 3 minutes.
You're right, right.
Because that would never happen.
Right, exactly.
So you structure it so that it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So here's something that happens every day. Everybody goes to bed every day.
Yeah.
You can use that already occurs to be present.
Yeah.
And that's how busy families can do it. And as far as why do parents struggle to be present? Because they check out.
Yeah.
And let me just give you some examples of ways that we check out.
Okay.
Because parents don't think about checking out.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're present.
Yeah.
But we aren't present. We're a million miles away a lot of time. And unfortunately, whether we want it or not, what it says to our children is, whatever I'm doing is more important than you. It's not the message you mean to send,
right?
But it is the message you're sending.
Yeah.
As unfair as that may seem,
when
you're a busy parent.
Yeah.
But the belief that it takes a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
because people think being present takes a lot of time, they don't investigate what it really
mm-hmm.
is. That's right.
Yeah.
They say, well, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm too busy. I work, whatever.
Yeah.
Technology is probably the keystone problem we have.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I really have made a study of it, and I watch in restaurants and in mm-hmm. schools and at parks. One day we were at the city park. We saw 5 sets of parents and children. Every parent was on their phone.
Mm.
Every parent.
Wow.
And they were with their children, but they were not with their children.
Yeah, yeah.
Work mm-hmm. can really consume us. For moms and dads, having our head filled with an agenda. It's very difficult to be present if you can't put the agenda aside for 30 seconds.
Right.
Family management.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot to manage a family.
It does, yeah.
And if you don't learn how to use that management time to be present,
mm-hmm.
it literally sucks up your time and it prevents relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
The need for solutions. Sometimes when your kids come and they want to connect with you, you're so busy trying to fix their problems. Or reprimanding them or commenting on their behavior
uh-huh.
that you miss the opportunity to be present.
Yeah, or to teach them or to even mm-hmm. listen to them.
Or to listen,
yeah.
because teaching can be done later.
Mm-hmm.
But often what is the most important thing is to connect.
Yeah.
To hear what's actually being said. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this is a problem that's come up before, but if I were to give my kids, my teenagers, older teenagers, and I look at them and I give them 30 seconds, they would tell me millions of stories right away.
They would.
Yeah, because they love connecting.
This comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. And especially, it doesn't even need to be your teenagers, but if your children is presence deprived, mm-hmm. if they're present deprived, uh-huh. and most are,
I bet.
The minute you start giving them some presents, uh-huh. it's like they're dying for water.
I need. And they're going to keep going.
And they're going to keep going. Yeah, but as soon as they trust you, mm-hmm. and they know that the tap is not going to be turned off, that
then
will
slow down.
And so an issue of your children being able to trust that when they need you, you will be there. Mm. When you have a teenager that just wants to go on and on forever, mm-hmm. you can say to them, that is so interesting. I really would like to talk more about this. Mm-hmm. I have to take care of this, but tonight when I come to your room, will you finish telling me about this?
Oh.
But then
and
you
then
must
make
keep
sure
your promise.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
if your kids can trust you, mm-hmm. if they know that on Monday night they get 3 minutes,
yeah.
if they know that you're going to sit down for dinner as a family, mm-hmm. if they know that these things are going to happen on a regular basis,
uh-huh. then they will. Yeah.
Then they know, and they're willing to wait.
Yeah. That makes sense. I like that, where you're saying they're going to, at first, going to be really, really heavy, but then they will learn to trust you. And that I think that trust is so important.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
It's huge. Yeah.
And we think it means just keeping our word, mm-hmm. but often it's our consistency that builds trust.
Yes.
Whether it's consistency in family prayer, mm-hmm. scripture reading, tucking a child in. Mm. Going to their games.
Uh-huh.
It's the consistency of how we are with our kids that builds trust.
Yeah, yeah. I know my little boys will not go to bed without saying prayers with me. I mean, it's just like, this is our routine, Mom. If you're gone, then I'll wait up for you. I'm like, no, you don't have to wait up for me. You could say prayers with somebody else. No, it's with Mom.
And that's
with other people, but
it's your connection moment.
Yeah,
it's when he gets you, when your agenda's out of your brain, mm-hmm. and he knows she's here with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it matters to kids.
Yeah.
It matters
it
a great
really
deal.
Matters. Yeah.
Yes. It
really matters. I've noticed that quite a bit, especially with my youngest two. Yeah. Yeah. They really, I don't care what's happening. It's Mom and my nighttime. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it matters to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
There's fear of involvement or mess. Sometimes we can't be present because we just don't want to, I don't want to go there with my kids. I know it's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to get involved. And then sometimes we're just flat play adverse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just don't want to play. And these are some of the reasons that parents check out and find it difficult to be present.
Gotcha,
but the truth is, all of these things can be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
They're skills.
Right. Yeah.
Not talent. You're not born with it.
Right, right.
You can learn it. Anybody can learn it.
But you have to practice.
You have to practice. Yeah. And it's really helpful to understand, well, if I'm play adverse, or if I do just cringe when I think there's going to be a mess, what do I do about that? And I talk about that in my classes, and I talk about that in the book.
Okay,
and,
great. So learning.
So you can learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can build that skill. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you can build the skill.
Yeah. So why is it important for families to know this?
So when you are not present, there will be a consequence. And I always think that it's helpful to know,
mm-hmm.
if I have an action, what is the consequence? Then I can determine, well, am I really going to do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
So I've looked at this issue of being present. And uh-huh. let me just give you some of the consequences.
Okay.
Number one, children lose esteem. If they do not know they matter, they lose esteem. Now, my youngest daughter, she's one of my most beautiful children.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a model.
Uh-huh.
She got a great deal of... I mean, there was a 7-year gap between her and the next oldest, and many had already left home.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have thought she would get a lot of time, but I was a mother ready to move on.
Mm.
I was 40 when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so my youngest daughter did not always know she mattered. And I look at her and the struggles that she's had with her esteem.
Mm-hmm.
When really she was in a position where she should have been the most confident of all my
right,
children.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really matters. If we are not present, our responses are usually poor.
our responses are usually poor.
Our child says, Mom, can you help me? And you say, not now.
Oh, I see.
Or in a minute.
Yeah.
We give poor responses that send poor messages.
Mm-hmm.
Messages that are not what we mean to say.
Yeah.
Look, whatever I'm doing is more important than you.
Yeah. And that's what we're really saying.
And that's really what we're saying. Yeah. It isn't what we mean.
Right.
It's not what we think we mean.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the message we send.
Yeah.
There's less enjoyment with our children.
Mm.
If we're so busy in management and just trying to manage our families, it's burdensome.
Yeah.
But those present moments, I can tell you, like the one I had with Marie,
mm-hmm.
are lifting.
Yeah.
And they stay with you. Marie was 3. She's now almost 40.
Wow.
She'll probably cringe because she's not, well, she's probably closer to 40 than 35. So.
Yeah. Someone went there.
Yeah. So it really, it's more, you just enjoy your family more.
Mm-hmm.
And you miss what matters most. If you're not present, you miss what your children are saying, what they're doing, how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing a lot.
Yeah.
And there are things you cannot get back.
Right.
Because
they grow up.
They grow up and they leave your home. And finally, you will come to a place where you will feel great regret.
Mm, yeah.
Because you missed things and you will know you missed. So I'm almost 67.
Uh-huh.
I have 7 grown children. Most are in their late 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
When I say there will be great regret, it's because I know firsthand. And so it's better to learn to be present because then you will feel better when you look back on your parenting.
Yeah.
And also it makes you a great grandparent. A really great grandparent.
That's awesome. That's great. So what can we do if we find it really hard? You know, if it's hard to be present.
And for the majority of people, I'll just say this. So if this happens to be where someone finds themselves, they have a lot of company.
Oh, okay.
Because being present is a skill.
Yeah, it's something you have to learn.
I remember taking a pottery class, and I just knew in my heart I was going to be so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first piece I made was pretty lousy. And so I didn't take any more classes.
Oh, really?
Because I just was discouraged, because I just thought I would be great. But being present is like that. When you first start, you're not going to be too great.
You're going to be lousy.
You're going to be pretty lousy at it. But here's what I want to say about that. There are some things, if you can internalize them, that will make becoming present easier. And the first thing is to realize that it's not a talent, it's a skill.
Yes.
If you know somebody who's better at it than you, they just have done it more than you.
Okay.
Now, we could have a proclivity to it, that it just comes a little bit easier to us.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has to practice. And skills can be learned and they can be perfected the longer we do them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, presence is a choice.
That's
it's
true.
Always a choice.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with whether we work or not,
mm-hmm.
Whether we're ill or not,
mm-hmm.
How much time we have, how many kids we have.
Uh-huh.
None of that matters because it is a choice. You get to choose. You have to set an intention.
Mm.
This is what I want to be. This is how I want to be with my children.
Okay.
And I'm going to do what it takes to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to practice, and you will be really poor at first.
Yeah, but you have to remember that.
But if you can be present between 3 minutes and 30 seconds one time every day, that's all you have to do to start.
Yeah, and that's practicing.
And that's doable. That's practicing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you have to stay committed and be consistent no matter how you think you're doing. You can't quit because the first thing you make is lousy.
Yeah.
You know, you have to just keep doing it and don't quit. And I could say this 100 times a day. I think this is a gospel principle.
Okay.
Remember that simple things done consistently over time bring big results.
Mm. You could even repeat that.
Remember. Simple things done consistently over time bring big results.
Yeah, that is so true.
It's scriptural.
Yeah.
It's a principle. It's an eternal principle.
Yeah, it is.
And sometimes we think, well, I'm going to come home from this event and I got this big thing. I'm going to whip my family into shape. We're going to shake everything up. And a month later, you're back where you were before and you've quit.
Yes.
Because that isn't how change really occurs. Mm-hmm.
It's that little thing.
Small things, simple things.
Wow, that is, and that's profound, right?
Because very profound.
Often we want to make these big changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember coming home and saying, oh, I've got the greatest meal plan ever. And we did this big, huge meal plan. And yeah, 3 weeks later, we were like, I don't get it. You know,
we're not doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But anybody can be present for 30 seconds to 3 minutes mm-hmm. once a day.
Yeah. I think I like the simplicity of that.
In fact, let me find something. I want to give you an example, okay. And I want to use the numbers. So let's take bedtime, for example.
Okay.
Let's say that you're really lousy at this presence thing.
Okay.
And you're not too into it. But you say, okay, well, I'll do it once a week. I will be present with my child for 3 minutes once a week.
Okay.
So let's say your child is 10. If you're present with them only once a week, that's 52 times a year. And if they're 10, you have 8 years. And at once a week, you will give him 416 quiet, safe, and present moments. And
wow.
Even if you are really poor at it and you mm-hmm. miss some days and some weeks, and you will,
uh-huh.
because that's just how life is,
uh-huh.
I hope you can see how successful you can still be. And that's doing it once a week.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually shocking, right?
It is shocking.
If you look at those numbers.
And that's
wow.
why I wanted to, you know, look in here and find the
right.
actual numbers.
Yeah.
This is doable.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Very doable.
Yeah, yeah. So what are the
reasons? Now I'm going to use my scripture before we go on.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there is a beautiful scripture in 3 Nephi chapter 17, verse 23, and it says this. And he spake unto the multitude, this is Christ speaking.
Okay.
And he spake unto the multitude and said unto them, behold your little ones.
Mm.
So the word behold is a verb which means to call attention to. And here are some synonyms: appreciate, contemplate, inspect, observe, watch.
Wow.
All of these words indicate more than a casual glance.
Yeah.
Christ has asked us to behold yeah. our children, to
behold.
Be present.
Yeah.
He has asked us to see what he has given mm-hmm. us. When we're present, we are able to do that better.
Wow.
Than when we're not.
Yeah. Isn't that is just beautiful. I did not know those synonyms for the behold. But it means, I like the word observe that you
observe,
use.
Yes.
To observe your children, see what they're doing. What
don't
do they
glance
need?
In their direction.
Right. To observe them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a scientist would.
Mm-hmm.
What makes them tick? What are they feeling? What's happening with
yes.
them? It takes presence mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah.
You have to get the agenda out of your head. You have to put down your technology.
Mm-hmm.
You have to turn to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to look into their eyes.
Right. And that's pretty easy. It sounds pretty simple.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
That's right. You just have to practice it.
Mm-hmm. I can already tell that. You know, I'm pretty present with my kids, but as we're talking here, I know my 13-year-old son is struggling with something, and I haven't really thought about it before. But now I'm gonna go ponder and spend some more time with him to know what he's struggling with.
So let me give you a very beautiful story that I got from Tiffany Berg Coffin, and I know I can share it because it's in the book.
Okay.
She's a friend of mine,
uh-huh.
and it's been really pivotal in helping
me
get
Tiffany.
The book written.
She's really helped
yes.
me with ATN's problems, too.
Yeah.
She's been pivotal for me.
So one of her older sons, she came home from shopping.
Okay.
And she needed to get the groceries out of the car and into the house and get dinner done because she had a meeting to get to.
Okay.
And as she pulled up, her son came out. And as she flipped up the trunk, he started taking groceries in, and immediately she thought, that's weird. My 17-year-old doesn't come out and voluntarily put away groceries. But she had this agenda going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took some groceries in and then came out for another load, and he was out there. And then she said, I just decided to stop and get present.
Mm.
And in the kitchen, as they put down the last load, she said to him, what's up?
Mm.
Wow. And he just unloaded to her something that was really pressing on his heart.
Mm.
She said, I almost missed it.
Yeah.
Because I needed to get in. I needed to get dinner done. And there's
yeah.
always time. But she said, with teenagers especially, there isn't always time.
Right.
You have these windows of opportunity
mm-hmm.
when their heart is open enough that they can share.
Yeah.
But you have to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. She said it didn't take a lot of time, 5 or 10 minutes. And he went away unburdened. Yeah. And they actually had to revisit it, you know, and do some more work. But that's how important presence is, because you will miss things. You will have regrets. Mm-hmm. You know, these things we've talked about before.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't revisit it. And, well, just be present. Yeah.
Be present. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And Tiffany was able to do it because she's practiced. Mm-hmm. She's a practiced present parent.
That's true. She is. She is very much so. Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. So can you tell us some of the outcomes if a family were to do this? What are some of the outcomes that would come from this?
The number one outcome is that your children will know they matter. The universal need of all people, the number one thing people need is to know they matter. We all want to know we matter. It doesn't matter our age.
Yeah, that's true.
And people strive to be seen and heard. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one thing. The second thing is that the burden of parenting will feel lighter. Parenting is a tough job. And frankly, I don't know about you, but there have been days when I've wanted to quit. Walk out the door, get in my car and say, I hope you all manage.
Yeah,
I'm out
good
here.
Luck.
That's right. Yeah. Yep, but if even if once a day you can have a present moment with a child and you know you're present and you feel the sweetness of that, like that sweetness with Marie, I want you to think, when she walked out of my sewing room, the deadline for getting the garment finished hadn't changed. The time passing didn't stop. Mm-hmm. But I want you to know how I felt. Mm. It was so sweet. I felt lighter. I felt enlightened. I was able to finish. It was a beautiful moment. If you had that even once a day.
Yeah.
Even once a day. It just lightens the burden.
Well, I think it also it lightens your burden and hers,
yes,
right?
And hers.
And because you have a lightened burden, you're able to accomplish more.
I did.
And
I finished
do more.
The project.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pick
I
out any more
I love that
scenes.
Idea.
Things went better. I didn't feel so stressed.
What a great outcome, huh?
It was a great
I mean,
outcome.
All you're just doing is giving a hug and spending 30 seconds with a child, and yet you're getting, wow.
I did. That's right. And so it lightens the burden of parenting.
Yeah.
And the burden is heavy. Let's be honest. It's a heavy burden.
Yep.
You will yell less.
Huh.
When you're present, you will yell less. You will have less discipline issues. And you will lessen conflict and contention. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
Because I have seen this over and over. There will be those listening to this who will say, oh, not in my family. Mm. I'm here to tell you, yes, in your family. I don't care what family. So there was a mom, a friend of mine, who lived in a 1,200 square foot house. And one summer she had 9 kids.
Wow.
Half of who were not hers.
Oh, wow.
But because of family issues, she inherited 6 extra kids.
Wow.
She said one day, from the minute they got up until dinner time, it was constant fighting.
Oh, wow.
You know what that's like. Just at each other and just so much stress and contention in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And as she was cooking dinner, she said, it just clicked in my mind what I had learned from you.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I turned everything off and I went in the kitchen and I said, go get a pillow, we're going to read. And 9 kids scattered. They came back with pillows, blankets. There were those moments of everybody fighting for space. But then it quieted down and she read for a half an hour.
Oh.
She said, I want you to know that we did not have one bit of contention for the rest of the evening. And then she sent me this email. She said, I wondered if I did the wrong thing giving in to their naughtiness.
Mm.
And this was my response. They weren't being naughty.
Yeah.
They were asking for what they needed, and that was to know they mattered, that they were on the list. And when you responded and gave it to them, the need was filled.
Yeah, and they were calm.
And they were calm.
Yeah.
So
wow,
if you have a lot of
beautiful.
Contention in your home, if you find yourself yelling all the time, I was a rager.
Mm.
So I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah.
Or if you are constantly having to discipline your kids.
Because
remember, I was going to discipline Marie because she was being naughty.
Yeah, you were. Mm-hmm.
I was. If you will learn to be present, you will have so much less of that.
Yeah.
And your patience will be extended, I promise you.
Mm. And isn't that what we're learning anyway, right?
Yeah.
As we're waiting and being parents, we are receiving that gift of patience.
Yeah. And the reason your patience will be extended is you will start to see things as they really are.
Mm.
I think that sometimes as parents, we see through a glass darkly. We perceive naughtiness where that is not the issue.
Mm. Yeah.
There's an issue of need, but we cannot see the need because our brains are so filled with our own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're so tied to our technology and everything is in an interruption.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying it as it is.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Interruption, yeah.
And so we can extend our patience because all of a sudden we'll start seeing things as they really are and we'll be able to respond to real needs.
Yes. In a beautiful manner.
You know, those are a few of the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Those are great benefits. I mean, those are like outstanding benefits, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've talked a lot about discipline. Can we talk about that a little bit more? Talk to about discipline because that comes up a lot.
So the story about the lady with this, you know, the 1,200 square foot home, but I'll tell you another story.
Okay.
That's really powerful. So I have a friend who had a 17-year-old daughter that was getting ready to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter would just... She and her daughter were so at each other that they tried to avoid being in the same room.
Mm.
She said, my daughter, she just was so annoying. And she was inappropriate so often. She would come and try to get my attention when I was working with, you know, two or three other little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so inappropriate. So I said to her, are you willing to enter into an experiment with this child?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'd like you to try random touch with her.
Random touch.
I would like you to touch her every time she's within close proximity.
Ah.
So, for example, if you're walking down the hall, you're going one way, she's coming the other way. As she goes by, just brush her shoulder.
Mm.
No words.
Yeah.
If she's sitting on the couch watching TV, sit down, reach over and pat her knee, stay 10 seconds, and get up and go. No words.
Mm-hmm.
At night,
interesting.
Open the door, walk in, pat her shoulder, say good night, walk out. As often in the day as you can remember, physically connect with this child.
Wow.
No words.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So she did it for 1 week.
Okay.
And when she reported back to me, I said, so how's it working out? And she said, I want you to know we have a lunch appointment.
Oh.
She said, here's the interesting thing. I no longer feel so annoyed with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I really kind of like being around her. I said, what has changed? She said, nothing.
Wow.
My daughter is still the same, but I have changed.
Oh, you've changed.
And she said, a month or two later, she said to me, I want you to know it's changed my relationship with all of my children.
Mm.
I see them differently.
Yeah.
I feel differently.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So we can discipline and be in control and in charge.
Yeah.
Or we can be present. Mm. Now, sometimes we must have a consequence for behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can do that in a present way.
Mm-hmm.
And your children will love you.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
And I think if we listen to conferences, we've been hearing that quite a bit in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kindness, gentleness, looking at people, feeling charity.
Yeah.
Presence creates all of those feelings.
Mm-hmm. So are there specific skills that parents can practice that will help them to move into being present?
Yeah, so they'll be able to see these on their screen, but let me just go through. Active listening, mini conversations, random touch, which we just talked about, recognizing children's sparks, where their interests lie.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of times, the thing that is the most annoying to you or making the biggest mess is the spark.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to learn to play.
Oh, great one.
And there are ways to play that are adult acceptable. And learning to be silly and having a little fun. So these are a few skills that you can practice. And I teach what they actually look like. So we haven't been able to talk about touch points, and they're really important. And everyone can get those from me free.
Okay.
And I think there'll be a slide that will show them how to access an entire chapter on touch points.
Okay,
the things that happen. Bedtime is a touch point, for example. But I want to end with one of my favorite scriptures. Let me find it here. Matthew 13:16. So as I was getting ready to write my book and doing a lot of praying and pondering, this scripture came into my life. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Mm. So this verse of scripture is about seeing and hearing things which cannot be seen or heard with our physical eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. And I would submit that when we're present, even if it's only for a few minutes a day, uh-huh. a few times a week, that we'd be blessed to see and hear in an extraordinary way, and the relationship with our children will soar because we will be living true principles mm. that our Heavenly Father has given us
yeah.
on how to create relationships in our family.
I love that. I love the seeing and the hearing, like Isaiah talks about a lot.
Right.
To see and to hear and to speak the words that you don't know you're going to speak.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I just memorized a beautiful scripture found in Ephesians 4, mm-hmm. verse 29, that says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good and edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I have been practicing with that now for a month.
uh-huh.
And I've been surprised what corrupt communication looks like in mm-hmm. a real family. Mm. I've been learning some lessons about how presence can help us not use corrupt communications. Oh. And so that is a new thing
That's
for me.
Another outcome,
yes.
yeah.
Yep. And so I just want people to remember that simple things done consistently over time
mm-hmm.
are what bring big changes.
Yes. That's a great message.
It's and perfect. Ultimately bring happiness in our families.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you, Marianne. That has been very touching and very informative. I appreciate your time and thanks for coming.
Thank you for the opportunity.